What does it mean to be saved by someone who never says they love you? Picture a 6-year-old girl whose mother has just vanished, standing in her grandmother's doorway while the woman who will raise her mutters, "Well, shit." No warm embrace, no gentle reassurances, just profanity and a wheelchair-bound woman who treats horror movies like meditation and survival like a competitive sport. This is where Danielle Henderson's story begins, not with abandonment that destroys, but with rescue that refuses to look like rescue at all. Henderson's memoir pulls back the curtain on a childhood that defies every Hallmark narrative about family. Her grandmother didn't bake cookies or offer soft landings. She offered something harder to give and more valuable to receive. The brutal toolkit for surviving a world that wasn't designed to protect Black girls from poor families. Every curse word was a lesson. Every refusal to coddle was preparation. Every moment of seeming cruelty was actually a form of love so fierce it couldn't afford to be gentle. Henderson's parents met in drum court when her mother was still in high school. After her father, Carlton, moved to North Carolina, her mother secretly followed, disappearing for 3 months until her family discovered she was pregnant with Corey. By the time he was born in February 1976, Carlton was already cheating. When a friend wrote that things weren't going well, her mother returned to New York with Corey, and another surprise, she was pregnant with Danielle. The family's 2-bedroom home became a crowded refuge where privacy was impossible. Danielle was born a month premature in June 1977, welcomed home by her brother hitting her in the face with a wiffle ball bat. From the beginning, love came wrapped in chaos. When Danielle was 6, her mother met Luke. What followed was systematic erasure. The apartment became a place where Danielle survived on dry taco shells and uncooked spaghetti, 2 sticks at a time, careful not to chew too hard because the sharp pieces might lodge in her throat. Luke ate pizza and burgers in front of them, arms protectively circling his plate. When her mother once asked if he could share his fries, he stood, walked over slowly, and slapped her across the face. Danielle watched her mother cry silently, realizing the person she counted on most was just as powerless. When Luke's 7-year-old son, Devon, moved in, his loud energy overwhelmed their fragile household. After a school incident, Luke confronted him at home while high. Blood trails marked Devon's escape attempt to the bathroom, where Luke followed with an extension cord. Danielle hid in her closet as Devon's screams turned to silence, terrified she'd be next. Police arrived the next day and led Devon away. Luke was arrested, eerily calm in handcuffs. Danielle stayed outside until they drove away, needing to see he was really gone. Days later, her mother took Danielle and Corey to Grandma's for what she called a weekend visit. She was actually bailing Luke out. He couldn't legally be near the children during the abuse case. A month passed without a call. Grandma sorted through garbage bags of their filthy clothes, cursing her mother. Then she pulled Danielle into a fierce hug. "Grandma's never going to leave you again, okay, honey child?" As they sorted clothes for the laundromat, reality sank in. Danielle would never live with her mother again. Grandma and Granddad's duplex had blood-red carpeting and wood-paneled walls like a 1970s horror movie set. Danielle shared a bedroom with Grandma, though she was allowed to lock her door. It would take years to accept that no one was coming for her in the night. When Danielle punched her friend Angela during a kickball argument and ran inside crying, Grandma was unsympathetic. Playing Nintendo, she declared, "You never run away from a fight, you hear me? You start it, you finish it." She threatened that if Danielle didn't go back out and beat that little girl's ass, she'd have to fight her instead. Board games became competitive blood sports. During Monopoly, Grandma was ruthless, buying everything valuable while employing psychological warfare. When Danielle complained that Angela's mom always lets us win, Grandma laughed. "Let you win? Honey, that's for white people. In this house, you earn it." Every game was training. Every harsh word was armor. Grandma was building something in Danielle that couldn't be built with gentleness, the ability to face a world that would show her no mercy and refuse to break. At 14, Danielle got working papers and a toy store job. Her coworker Helen asked her to babysit, and unlike other families, they treated her like an interesting person. Watching their normal, loving family made her wonder how different her life could have been, but she was learning to build her own version of normal. In high school, Danielle created a skirt from nearly 30 neckties and later shaved her head, leaving just a small ponytail on top. When Grandma said, "I don't like it," Danielle stood her ground. "Well, it's my head, so you don't have to." The ultimate symbol of independence came when she bought her own car. Though Grandma mocked her noisy army tank, Danielle handled everything herself, calling the DMV, paying astronomical insurance, making cosmetic repairs with staples and stencils. When the mechanic gave her a $700 repair list, she spent almost all her remaining money to get it registered. She kept tools under the passenger seat and learned to tap the starter on cold days. She had her own car, bought with her own money, and she even knew how to fix it. She was free. As senior year approached, Danielle focused on college as her escape from Warwick. Despite rejection from most schools, she got into LaSalle University near Boston. Granddad proudly called her college girl, while Grandma jokingly asked when she was getting the fuck out of my house. Years later, the roles reversed. Grandma now has dementia, forgetting from minute to minute on bad days, cursing out doctors with her Pillsbury Doughboy laugh on good ones. Granddad died merely 20 years ago from lung cancer before Danielle could say goodbye. Grandma keeps his ashes behind horror DVDs, greeting him daily. Every morning, Grandma cries for her long-gone mother and grandmother. Danielle placed their photos by her bed and hired a nurse, finally able to afford caring for them both. Grandma wants her mommy, but has Danielle instead, the woman who never expected to be anyone's caretaker, but became the most important one in Danielle's life. Henderson's story redefines rescue. Her grandmother never said, "I love you," traditionally, but expressed it by refusing to let Danielle be soft in a world that punishes softness. She showed love through self-reliance and staying when everyone else left. This memoir doesn't celebrate trauma or argue harsh parenting builds character. It acknowledges that survival sometimes requires tools that don't look like love until you understand what love costs. Grandma's profanity-laced lessons carried hard-won wisdom. The world won't be gentle with you, so I cannot afford to be either. Henderson became a successful TV writer and author not because trauma made her stronger, but because someone loved her enough to prepare her for an unforgiving world. The ugly cry isn't just tears. It's the raw emotion when you finally understand the person who seemed hardest on you was holding you up all along. In a culture obsessed with gentle parenting, Henderson asks, what if the greatest act of love is teaching someone how to survive without you?